Welcome to DriveLink Training. Hi, my name's David Vickers. DriveLink Training for all your forestry and arboricultural training needs. In this programme, we're going to have a look at the Small Fell Qualification Guidance for the MPTC assessment. Many of the people that I teach have some form of dyslexia, maybe have some form of difficulty reading, and maybe they just don't want to sit down with a qualification guidance note and read through it. So for all of you people, hopefully this will help you go through the qualification guidance. You can just sit down and listen to me. Not the most exciting thing in the world, I must admit, but there we go. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to have a little look through the underpinning knowledge of the qualification. You'll still need to do all the practical stuff, but along with the practical assessment, you will be asked some questions. And so this recording is about going through that underpinning knowledge to help you. I hope you find it useful. We're going to be following the qualification guidance, which is a level 2 award in felling and processing trees up to 380 millimetres. It's dated 2012. The assessment is a mix of being able to do things and knowing how to do things. Therefore, you must demonstrate underpinning knowledge. So that's what we're going to be covering. The assessment is made up of one mandatory unit, which is Unit 203, Fell and Processed Trees Using a Chainsaw. You need to be able to work safely. You need to be able to fell and process trees up to 380 millimetres. You need to know relevant health and safety legislation and industry good practice. You need to know how to fell and process trees up to 380 millimetres. You need to know how to remove branches from felled trees using a chainsaw. And you need to know how to take down hung up trees. The qualification guidance is broken down between assessment criteria and assessment activities, and we'll take each one in turn. So the first thing is to identify hazards and risks associated with the working area and the proposed work. You need to identify hazards, anything with the potential to cause harm, and risks, who might be harmed and how, which are relevant to the work area and the work to be done. Next, you'll need to outline the emergency planning and procedures relevant to the working area. The emergency procedures relevant to a worksite may include location name, grid reference, designated meeting place, site location name, nearest access point, street name or district, type of access. Is it a public road? Does it require light vehicles? Does it require a four-wheel drive? A suitable helicopter landing area, phone number of nearest doctor, location of nearest accident and emergency hospital and phone number, works manager contact details, and your own contact number or mobile number. You'll need to outline key health and safety legislation and industry good practice. You need to outline key points from the legislation and industry good practice listed. So they are the Health and Safety at Work Act, which specifies general duties for employers and employees, and you must maintain safe places of work. The Provision and Use of Work Equipment Regulations, also known as PUER, which states that operators must be adequately trained and the equipment must be fit for purpose. And in general, we like to say the equipment should be suitable, it should be maintained properly, and it should be inspected. The Arboriculture Forestry Advisory Group, or AFAG, provides industrial good practice. However, these days that's kind of not quite right. Although AFAG is the correct answer to give for your assessment, actually there's another group called the Forest Industry Safety Accord, or FISA. And FISA took over some of the AFAG guides that were produced. If you're not within the forestry industry, you may not think that actually applies to you. However, HSE do provide an industry guidance document called INDG 317, which you can search for on the web, and it's called Chainsaws at Work, and it's actually a pretty good document to have available. You'll also need to state appropriate safe working distances from other operators during felling as well, and that's 2 times the tree length. So if you're felling a tree that's 15 metres high. Safe working distance in that case is 30 metres. You'll need to describe the additional safeguards to implement when you're felling in proximity to paths, near roads or areas with public access, or where there are underground or overground wayleaves. So let's take those in order. Additional safeguards may include in proximity to paths, warning signs, barrier tape, a banksman. In roads or areas with public access, you might need signs, traffic management, and make sure that permissions have been granted. And where there are underground and overground wayleaves, increase the safe working distances, shut down the wayleaves, and make sure you've got a work permit. You'll need to describe the legal and environmental factors for felling trees. Legal factors to consider in relation to tree felling may include felling licenses, tree preservation orders or TPOs, and conservation areas. Environmental factors to consider in relation to tree felling may include location of watercourses, presence of wildlife, and protection of valuable flora and fauna. You'll be asked to describe how environmental damage can be caused and minimised. Environmental damage can be caused by incorrect storage of fuel and oil, through defective machinery or poor work practices. Environmental damage may be prevented by following principles of industry good practice, such as that listed in AFAG and FISA guides, through good housekeeping and appropriately trained operators. Describe how to identify which trees need to be felled. Trees for felling may be identified by marks such as paint or blaze marks, by using maps, or by their species. You'll be asked to state how to recognise when a tree is difficult to fell. Recognising a tree is difficult to fell may include tree form, size or weight, whether it's above the competency of the operator, the presence of decay or rot is found, or any site-specific hazards such as power lines. Then you'll need to describe how to recognise signs of disease and decay in trees and modify the felling methods accordingly. So recognition of disease and decay in trees may include fungal growth or cavities, flaking and missing bark, discoloration of timber and bark. Modification of felling methods may include placing felling cuts higher up the stem in sound timber, use of assisted felling techniques to ensure accurate felling direction, or non-removal of buttressed roots to provide more holding timber. You'll need to explain the advantages of setting up or using a natural felling bench, brash mat, or similar support prior to felling. So what are the advantages of setting up support prior to felling? Well, they can provide an ergonomic working height for further processing. It eases the turning over of trees to get access to the branches underneath, and it reduces the need for manual handling. You're going to have to describe a series of felling cuts as well. So, describe alternative felling techniques for trees up to 20 centimetres for upright trees, backward leaning trees, and trees heavily leaning or weighted in the intended felling direction. So felling techniques for trees up to 20 centimetres or 200 mil may include upright trees, use a step cut, an 80% front cut, spear cut, or a standard felling cut. For backward leaning trees, use a split level or step cut. And for trees heavily leaning or weighted in the intended felling direction, use a V-cut or holding cut. Then you'll describe felling techniques for trees over 20 centimetres or 200 mil for upright trees, backward leaning trees, and trees heavily leaning or weighted in the intended felling direction. So for felling trees over 20 centimetres, that could include, for upright trees, a standard felling cut, Danish pie or safe corner cut. For backward leaning trees, a standard felling cut with the introduction of felling aids, split level cut, or a Danish pie stroke safe corner cut. For trees heavily leaning or weighted in the intended felling direction, use the dog's tooth cut or the Danish pie or stroke safe corner cut. Techniques that can be used to fell a tree that has sat back against the intended felling direction may include making a small boring cut into the back of tree at the position of the felling cut and inserting a felling lever to lift the tree over. Or make new felling cuts to fell the tree in the direction of lean if site conditions allow, or drive a wedge into the main felling cut to lift the tree over. You'll have to explain how and when to use additional equipment to assist with the felling of trees. How? Well, by placing felling levers in the felling kerf, or wedges placed in the felling kerf, or assisted felling techniques. And when would you use those? Well, when additional leverage is required, where there's a risk of the tree sitting back and trapping the saw, or whether the tree form, size or weight dictates. You'll have to describe how to use and maintain tools, equipment and personal protective equipment. Maintenance of tools and equipment and PPE may include cleaning or inspection. Uses of equipment may include lifting, rolling or to protect the operator. As you'll be dealing with hung up trees, you're also going to have to state incorrect techniques for dealing with hung up trees, and you must state all of these. So, incorrect techniques for dealing with hung up trees include felling the supporting tree, felling another tree across the hung up tree, walking or working under a hung up tree, climbing a hung up tree, cutting pieces off the butt end of a hung up tree, and leaving a hung up tree unless it is clearly marked and a supervisor or indeed your colleagues have been informed. Again, keeping with the theme of hung up trees, you'll be asked to describe takedown methods for a range of tree sizes. So takedown methods may include hinge reduction and rollout, or hinge removal where you'll pole or drag the tree back. Describe takedown methods for trees using winches or other manual and mechanical means. So following complete hinge removal, takedown methods may also include use of, through manual means, timber lengths to walk a tree backwards, smaller trees dragged with lifting aids, such as timber tongs, winches to assist with pulling or dragging, rolling or turning, and mechanical assistance from a forwarder or harvester or a skidder winch. You'll also be asked to describe the appropriate actions to take if a tree cannot be taken down. So the appropriate action to take if a tree cannot be taken down may include the tree being cordoned off with warning tape and supervisor or colleagues informed, and then arranging for a mechanical assistance to help with the takedown process. And then the last thing dealing with hung up trees is to identify where the danger areas are in relation to the trees being taken down. So you must state that the danger areas in relation to hung up trees include being directly under a hung up tree or being directly behind a hung up tree. Once the tree's down, you're going to have to remove the branches. So you'll be asked to describe how the method of removing branches will vary with tree species. The method of branch removal may vary owing to tree species, branch form and pattern. So with conifer, branch removal may include lever method or the pendulum method. With broadleaves, branch removal may include the lever method, the pendulum method or delimbing. You'll also need to state the risks to consider when removing branches. So the risks to consider when removing branches may include tripping or falling over, contacting obstructions with a chainsaw, the tree rolling onto the operator, spring back from cut branches or saplings when severed, and kickback. Make sure you can identify tension and compression in branches too, and that can be either done visually or manually. You'll also need to describe a technique for removing branches above shoulder height. So removal of branches above shoulder height may include rolling of the stem to allow for safer working height. You'll have to state how and when to use equipment to assist with the snedding or delimbing of trees. Equipment used to assist may include a winch used to restrain the timber if it could roll towards the operator, felling aid used to turn the stem to aid subsequent snedding and delimbing, and a chainsaw used to remove branches. With branch removal, your aim is to leave a clear stem. So you'll have to explain the advantages of leaving a clean stem after snedding and delimbing. The advantages of a clean stem may include reducing possible injury to the person moving the timber, reducing the friction and collecting the debris when pulling timber along the ground, preventing damage to other trees when extracting timber, allowing timber to easily enter machines such as a chipper, a peeler or a saw bench, and easier stacking or loading. After removing the branches, we need to know what to do with all the arisings. So you'll have to state how to deal with arisings after snedding and delimbing. Arisings may be dealt with in the following ways. It could be left where it lands, brash piling or stacking, windrowing. It could be further processed through mulching, baling or chipping, or it could be burnt. You'll have to describe the correct methods for disposing of waste. So disposal of waste from workplace activities may include the use of designated waste and recycling bins, empty containers removed from sites such as oil, and litter taken home with operators. And that just about wraps it up for the underpinning knowledge for your small fell assessment. I hope you found it useful. And if you're about to undertake your assessment, my only advice to you really is just take it slowly and safely. If you want to discuss anything mentioned in this programme, then please do get in contact. It's David Vickers, and you can call me on 0790 067 7715 or email me at david@drivelinktraining.co.uk or visit the Facebook page and send me a message. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/drivelink. Check out the website at www.drivelinktraining.co.uk.